Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Rav here, as always, your host. How is everyone? Today, I'm recording this on Monday morning, after Arsenal have defeated Crystal Palace 1-0, a classic 1-0 to the Arsenal. 3 points, clean sheet, sitting pretty at the top of the Premier League table with Liverpool losing this weekend and City as well, which I didn't see that one coming, losing to Aston Villa at the match around the same time. But look, this is all going to be about Arsenal, because as good as it is that our title challenger rivals are dropping points and losing, 4 in a row for Liverpool, actually, 4 Premier League losses in a row, it only kind of matters so far. Arsenal still need to get the job done. And we haven't always done so. In the last couple of seasons, when our title rivals have dropped points, or even as recent as last season, when Liverpool drew or dropped points, we would match their result or we wouldn't capitalize. And it's just so important that we remain focused on what we got to do and what we need to do. And it's just it's a beautiful time to be an Arsenal fan. I know it's only October and there's still so much to go. And without even peeking too far into the media landscape, I know what the headlines, what the narratives are going to be. It's going to be, you're probably seeing it as well. It's going to be variations of that. You know, the other teams are stumbling. This is Arsenal season. Surely they don't drop it from here. Surely maybe they use the word bottle. I don't know. I know exactly what they're trying to do. And you probably know as well, is that they are going to try and dial up the intensity. They're going to turn the pressure and the spotlight right onto Arsenal, waiting for Arsenal to stumble. Trust me, they are waiting with sharpened knives. They might praise Arsenal through gritted teeth, if that makes sense. I don't believe it's entirely genuine. I'm not sort of categorizing the entire media landscape. There are some actually excellent analysis and pundits out there. They're a bit too and far between, unfortunately. But there's going to be a host of people waiting for Arsenal to fall. And what is beautiful from Arsenal is that we seem to be handling that noise, that pressure so well so far. We seem to be blocking out that noise, blocking out that distraction, and just focusing on the job at hand and getting it done, getting the job done. This is another match with a clean sheet. I read an incredible stat before that Arsenal have not conceded a shot on target in the entire month of October. That's mind blowing. I know there have been some moments, yes, of course, you know, hitting the crossbar, technically it doesn't count as a shot on target. And I think this morning's game, which I should come to as well, actually, I am going to talk about Arsenal Crystal Palace. My apologies for the long intro. This morning, there was a save that Ryan made, an excellent save, actually, but it doesn't count because the action was ruled out for offside. So look, it wouldn't have counted anyways. In terms of the statistics, that doesn't get registered as a shot on target either. So I know there are some disclaimers to some of these stats that you see banded about, but take nothing away from what it represents. It represents an incredible assurance with Arsenal, a brilliantly coached system, technically adept, players come in, come out, and just know what to do. And they have such a unrelenting demand for that clean sheet for each other, to not give the opposition anything, not to even give them a sniff. How many times, even in recent seasons, when we've been in largely control of matches, but there'll just be a moment out of nowhere where we would just open the door for the opposition. And anything can happen in this league. We know that because we've seen it, that you might be cruising towards a victory, but that statistic about points drop from winning positions and whatnot, it just plagued Arsenal for too long. And some of it's been self-inflicted, yes, because we've just taken our eye off the ball. Other times has been just the other noise and distraction that's been largely, so far, touch wood, has been eliminated or reduced this season. The refereeing stuff, the officiating. This is a match that I describe as a largely forgettable match. And that's okay with me. I want more, less memorable matches. If you recall me saying I described the Fulham match, again, 1-0 to the Arsenal, in a very similar fashion, that I'm fine to forget about the match in 7 to 10 days. I mean, that's the football cycle, right? We have so much football to play, and it's bank the points, move on, get the 3 points, add it to our tally, and go again midweek or the next weekend with 2 or 3 matches a week now. And I'm completely fine with that. I predicted that I'm going to forget about that Fulham match after a certain number of days. And look, I have. I largely have. Just off the top of my head now, of course, I remember Trossard's goal, the winner from the Gabriel assist. But by and large, if you were to put me on the spot now and ask me about moments during that match, about the lineup, substitutions, any big, you know, mischances or anything during the match, or any major controversies from, I can't recall too many. And that's, I'm fine with that. I'm actually fine for 29 more less memorable matches in the Premier League. I'm completely fine, because we don't necessarily want all the big hoo-ha that comes with some of the matches that have plagued Arsenal in the last few seasons. I don't want to be giving the opposition a sniff. I don't want to be scraping through with last-minute winners, as amazing as they are. And I reference Newcastle. That Newcastle match is going to be one of the most rewatched things, moments of this season, if we go and do what I hope we're all dreaming of achieving this season. You can't rely upon that. The foundation of a Premier League title is matches like this, built on matches like this, snuffing them out, giving them nothing, clean sheets, not conceding shots on target, not having silly moments of madness with delaying the restart, or just self-inflicted stuff with penalties. And I'm just so glad that by and large, at this point in time, that we've eliminated that stuff. I mean, just the narrative that used to come out of it was so tiring for everyone. Just even moments like Saliba's clashing heads against Brighton last season. Was it Pedro? I can't remember who it was. You know, we were in control of that match, leading 1-0, and just a moment of madness, and just days and days of that whole officiating thing just sucking the life and the energy out of everyone. We've just been able to negate that and just go ahead and just go and win matches on our own volition. Sure, you know, there have been moments where, I know that we should have had that penalty against Newcastle. I mentioned Newcastle match before, so I do need to reference it again. Sure. We don't dwell on it. We just go again. We take this stuff off the table. Take out the noise. They can have all these sort of moments during the matches, but ultimately, just get back to the focus. Get back to the focusing on the job at hand. Is that when that penalty, that trip against Saka was overturned recently? The images were great straight away. Sure, the players were frustrated. Saka was frustrated, but the images cut straight to Arteta. On the sidelines, he was pointing at his temples. He was getting into focus. He was G'ing them up, basically saying, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Go out and win it. Get back to the job at hand. And that is awesome, because not too long ago, we would have been consumed by that. It would have seeped into the atmosphere. The agitation would have grown amidst the players. The frustration would have grown. You know, we would have seen more players sort of moaning and groaning, with the ref getting distracted by that. Arteta on the sidelines with the fourth official. Just where I'm going with all this is that I see a real shift from Arsenal currently, a real shift in dynamics. It's just that whatever happens, whatever they throw at us, whatever we encounter, we got this. We're just going to go and focus, because we know that we're good enough, that we know that we can get the job done on our own, by ourselves. We don't need that help. We don't need that assistance because we've got the caliber of players now. We've got the mindset, the mentality just to go out there and win. And I love this from Arsenal. It's a ruthless mentality that it's the kind of thing that's going to, it's going to win you stuff. I was kind of hesitating to say it because I want to say it, but then I don't want to because I know it's only October and there's still so much to go. But what we've seen is the fabric of a team that wants to win. I've said it. We want the Premier League. We want the Champions League. We want it all. And the players are showing you that their ambition. They're showing you on the pitch. I'm sure you're paying attention just as much as I am. The players are saying to you that we want this, that we are hungry, that we are not satisfied until we go out there and win it. And this mentality is just, it is so palpable. And I feel it all the way over here in Australia, wherever you are in the world. I hope you feel it too, because there's something very, very special happening at Arsenal right now. It's very, very special. I don't say that lightly. I say that as a fan who's loved this club for over 30 years, and I'm really, really proud. I'm really proud of what the club is putting together, what the players are putting together, and I want more of this. I'm seeing where this trajectory is going, and yes, there's a long, long way to go, of course. I'm loving where it goes. And look, thank you for listening to all that, because I realize I'm about 11 minutes in and I've barely even mentioned the match. So my apologies for that. This is meant to be a bit of a match reaction and recap, of course. I'm tired, actually not a bit tired, I'm quite tired at the moment. If you're watching on video on YouTube, I'm sorry that I'm looking quite out of it and a bit more disheveled than usual this Monday morning. But yeah, look, the time zone thing, I mean, I can't really complain about it too much because I'm a willing participant. I'm the one who chooses to do what I do, and so I can't really blame anyone else for it. Maybe I should move to London. But anyway, so let's just get into the match now. Thank you for putting up with all that. So selection was by and large as expected. Actually, look, I thought Mosquera would start because maybe this is just classic Mikel Arteta. Just he's leveled up as well in the sort of smoke and mirrors that he otherwise plays, that the smoke screen around Gabriel. I don't think there was ever really any major doubt with Gabriel. I think he was always going to play, but you know what? Mikel he's still got some tricks up his sleeve too. And he's maybe he's done something similar as well post-match, because he's taken Saka off, which he described as illness, which I'll come back to that, by the way, because I want to make a separate point around managing the players' minutes, and we wouldn't have seen Mikel do such things in times gone past. But Calafiori's come off, Rice has come off, Saliba. So maybe these were pre-planned things. I don't know. Maybe there are some genuine reasons for it, some knocks or niggles and all that sort of stuff. Because you know, no play is ever 100%. You can't play this volume of football. It's so unrelenting being a professional athlete in this industry at the moment that they're never entirely 100%. So there might have been some genuine reasons behind it. But, you know, if Mikel has the opportunity to dial up a bit of a smoke screen around them and keep the opposition guessing for midweek, our next match as well, then he's going to do it. He's going to reach into all these little 1%ers, these little margins he can, and he's just going to keep doing it. So I think Gabriel was always okay. That was just my read on it. Elsewhere, some pretty predictable changes, because we saw Trossard sat out midweek in the Champions League. So did Calafiori. So they were fresh. They came on, played the full pretty much the full matches here. Calafiori came off late. By and large, I think selection was largely as expected, because even though the likes of Saka's he's played a lot of minutes lately, Zubimendi has, Timber. Our next match is the League Cup against Brighton, so I'm certain that had played a part in Mikel's selection, knowing that midweek there's going to be a number of players who are going to have the night off. And we also benefited from a couple of extra days rest from last week. We played Atletico on a Tuesday night. Palace played in a Conference League on Thursday, so they had a shorter rest period. We had 4.5-5 days. So all these little things, you know, did play into our favour in this match. What I will say is that Palace, I think, are a fantastic club. I think they're an excellent. Mateta is an absolute handful. He's a beast. You just look at him, just in terms of his physical stature, he's a very imposing figure. I know he's starting for France now as well, so well known to Saliba. He's big, he's strong, holds up the play well. Palace play a very compact style of game. They're very, very well coached as well, very well organized themselves. And they were really difficult to break down. This wasn't just one of those typical teams who come in and park the bus style thing that we've seen so often at the Emirates. Yes, they of course, you know, stifled us as much as they could, played a low block, as you come to expect, as they're entitled to do. However, they were also very well organized. The way they broke, the way they shifted the ball forward, I was quite impressed. It's my first real close-up look at Palace this season. I just think they're an excellent club. And take nothing away from the importance of these 3 points, because we only managed to draw against them last season. It's one of those quirky stats where I think over the last 7 or 8 visits they've had to the Emirates, we've only won 2 or 3 of them. It's just one of those, every now and then you get these sort of little bogey clubs that prove very, very tricky. Pleasingly for Arsenal, though, so far so good in terms of reversing fixtures from last season and maximizing points. I should have tallied this up. I'm sorry, because this is actually worthy of its own point. But in my tiredness, I'll just try and keep a running tally in my head. Of course, we lost at Anfield, so 0 points last year we drew. So there's already -1. But in no particular order, we won away at Newcastle, won at home to Fulham, West Ham. Fulham was a draw last season. Palace was a draw last season. Fairly certain West Ham was a loss. So already you're +3 points against West Ham. You're +3 points away at Newcastle. Old Trafford as well. How could I forget that? Because we drew there as well last season. So, you know, reversing 2 points here, 3 points there, and even accounting for losing against Liverpool and dropping a point there comparative to last season, we're still well ahead, and it's only 10 matches in. This is where the Premier League is won and lost. Make no mistake, I know the narratives will say that we'll always point to things like Arsenal went to the Etihad and we're content with a draw, you know, in a season a couple of years ago. Make no mistake, we are good against, in those big matches, we're good against those so-called top six. And we have been for quite some time under Arteta. Where we've struggled is managing those periods of time where you're coming up against the likes of Aston Villa, Newcastle, we've dropped points to Everton, and it's these sorts of matches. That's where consistently across the board, we have dropped too many points. We've drawn too many matches, or even in matches where we've been ahead and should have been able to see it through, we've dropped points from winning positions. That's the difference in the Premier League title. That's the difference. And so far, so good, even accounting for everything I've said already, that it's still only October and there's still so, so much still to go. We are consistently bucking that trend. We are reversing fixtures. We are maximizing points where, just as recent as last season, we've stumbled. And this is the foundation of a Premiership title winning team. That is what is happening week to week in front of us right now as an Arsenal fan. And it is just fantastic. It is fantastic to see. So the match itself, look, I'm already starting to forget. I know I've described it as a large, I'm looking for more less memorable matches. I don't mean this quickly. It's still the very morning of, right? I shouldn't be forgetting things this quickly. Look, it's an outstanding finish from Ezra. Fantastic. I've seen some of the still images with him mid-air. Right, that's a fantastic technique. That's a great still shot right there. You should hang that up on the wall. So he's tucked away beautifully. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Ezra was purchased for matches like this, to be able to create a moment of magic, breaking down these low blocks, right? Especially at home at the Emirates, where we drew too many matches last season. This is what we've got him for, to be a game changer, a game breaker. And he's provided that. He's provided the goal against his old club that would have meant a lot to him, of course. You can tell, you know, he was quite emotional in his celebrations. It would have hurt Crystal Palace fans, of course, as well. Just the same as if Nketiah bobbed up later and scored an equaliser, I'm sure he would have been a difficult moment, joyous moment for him, of course, but also difficult knowing, you know, against his old club. So it's just the emotional nature of football, and thankfully that didn't come to pass. Ezra scored an outstanding goal, and he was the difference in this match. I thought overall it was a very even first half. We were much, much better in the second half. I think after halftime, we put together an excellent patch of form. You know, we should have scored again. there were some chances again when the club looks back at the tapes and they review the match. Gabriel's, you know, fired straight into the post. Geez, he gave that goal frame quite a working over this match. I was wincing when later on where, oh, that post when it's wedged in between his legs. Let's just say, him charging at full pace, and he's a big unit himself, right? Him going full pelt and that. Oh, that would have hurt. I was wincing in agony. I think many of us watching. But good on him. I'm glad he was okay. Just one of those classics. You have to get up and walk it off, so to speak. As easy as it sounds, we had some other chances too that we didn't quite put away. Trossard with a couple of moments. I thought Trossard was good this match. I'll just sort of give a bit of a rundown of in terms of individual performances. I thought it was a very even team performance, just the type of thing you want. Maybe there was no absolute standout star on the day, which is fine. Once again, if it's a complete unanimous, you know, 7.5 sort of style out of 10 performance from the team across the board, that's what you want. I thought Gabriel was fantastic as always. He's so critical to Arsenal, so critical to what we do and do well. Timber as well, just, you know, continued excellence from him. Zubimendi had a couple of tough moments in the first half. I think he grew into the match. Few misplaced passes and they broke very well. You know, their pressing was very good, I must say. Maybe we were drawn into that mistake rather than just being a mistake out of the blue. You know, every now and then you've got to give credit to the opposition, right? Like maybe they forced Zubimendi into thinking he had more time than he actually did. And you tip your hat off and to say, look, their pressing system, they're so well coached. He's an excellent coach, Glasner. I'm not sure how much longer he will be there for, because usually what happens is when one of the bigger, and I say this with all due respect, of course, when one of the bigger clubs have a change in management, they look to pluck out managers of that quality. And look, I think he's excellent. I think he'll do very, very well for himself. He already is, of course. So we're there ready to pounce. We just have an excellent defensive setup. Players snap back into formation, nip the ball away, and we can snap out the danger, thankfully. And it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful time. Beautiful time to watch. I'm not overly nervous. Sure, I would have loved that second goal, perhaps third goal. But even as the match went on, I wasn't overly nervous. I just didn't see us conceding. I know Mikel has made some changes as well to shore us up defensively. I want to come to the changes as well, actually, for a moment, because this deserves its own little segment here. It's great that Mikel can take Bukayo off, because not too long ago he would have played the 90, and you really put him at risk of anything else, so any other injury, fatigue related injury. Saka has played a lot of football lately. Like, he's really been building up his load. He's completed a couple of consecutive matches. How great that on 66 minutes we can take him off and bring on Martinelli, right? And this wouldn't have happened just, you know, as recent as a year or two ago. Even Saliba coming off, if it was pre-planned, or if he's picked up a knock and he was struggling at halftime, it's great that we've got Mosquera in there now. Mosquera is just an outstanding defender. He's plug and play. He can fit in anywhere across the back line. And he can fit in at right back, left centre half, right centre half, and he just comes in and looks like he's been in the club for a decade. He just looks that confident, just beautifully done. And it's the type of thing that just I can't help but feel that in years gone by, had we had the likes of Tomiyasu fit, you know, how things could have been differently. Really, really unfortunate. Sad situation that happened with Tomiyasu. I wish him all the best, and I hope he's able to get back to top level football soon, because there's a downstream effect, there's a correlation then between the amount of minutes the other players play and how they're running to the ground and pick up their own injuries. We've been able to manage them through periods like this. We didn't have the luxury to take. I think no one epitomizes this point more than Ben White. Take Ben White for example. That had we had Tomiyasu as an option in the last sort of 2 years, would White have the same level of consistent niggling injuries that he's been suffering since, all those sort of frequent setbacks he's had? Look, without talking in absolutes here, I think there's a genuine case of saying, yeah, we would have been able to manage him better, that he would not have suffered his injuries as much as he had, had we had the ability to take him off and put Tomiyasu on. But because we haven't had that squad depth, we haven't had that option within the squad, you kind of left to just, you know, the players out there, they're all you've got sometimes. You need them to play the 90 and you need them to do it again, dust themselves off and do it again midweek. And then on the weekend, we haven't had the luxury. This is what I'm trying to say. We haven't had the luxury to be able to do it. And it's one thing to have the squad options there. It's another thing for Mikel to actually be brave enough and say, yep, I'm going to make the call. I'm going to trust this person. Bring them on. They're going to get the job done and see us through. And equally, sit down Bukayo, sit down Saliba. Rice as well later in the match, he needed to come off. We need more of this because we've got the squad. We've got the capacity there. We've got the caliber there. So let's utilize them. And we've got the ability to make 4 or 5 substitutions a match. And he has been pretty consistently, actually. So this is a real shift as well for Arsenal. There are things happening live in real time now that we've seen unfold that haven't been happening in seasons gone past. And that's a testament to the club, a testament to the ambition, the level of investment, and the trust now amongst the players and the coaching staff. So more of this, please. Other than that, look, we saw out the match fairly comfortably, I feel. I've already mentioned the another game without a shot on target, but I want to recap it again before I close out this recording. Football sounds so simple, right? It can be so, so simple that if you don't concede a goal, then you're in a damn good position, that you're already at minimum, you're going to draw a match. But with the offensive excellence that we have too, the firepower off the bench, we go into matches knowing that if we can just get one goal, then that should be enough. Because we are so good defensively. We have a world-class goalkeeper who will get his accolades when we actually lift those major trophies. World-class defenders, a fantastic defensive setup, a midfield formation that know their job and just sweep back into position. We've got forwards who do a lot of dirty work as well. Trossard's right back there. Saka continually. And we've got the out ball in Gyökeres. And there was one beautiful moment today when Raya's just gobbled up the ball as he does from across and straight away plays that long ball to Gyökeres and we're out. This is just a great time to be an Arsenal fan. There's across the board, I just see continued excellence, high caliber players, a high caliber system and a club that is here to win. So look, on that note, I think I will bring this one to a close. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you're enjoying this particular period in Arsenal. Don't let them take that away from you, right? Don't get too sucked into the narratives as well. I know it's easier said than done, but right here, right now, it's just a joyous time for what Arsenal are building, and I just hope that we keep going, and I'm very confident that we will. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could please consider liking and subscribing on your audio platform, please follow the show. I would greatly appreciate a review as well. And just send me any questions, any feedback I'm happy to cover on the next time. Look, just enjoy as much as you can enjoy. There's a long, long way to go, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. But, you know, if we can't enjoy little moments like this, then what's it all for? So look after yourselves, check in with your loved ones. I'll talk to you again soon, and come on, Arsenal. Thank you so much. Thanks.